This is Express FM.
Supported by Portsmouth College.
We are passionately Pompey.
Whipped in towards the near post. Header from Naylor. And Tom Naylor scores the first goal of the Danny Cowley era.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
It's a club with unbelievable football traditions. A real football city. We feel really proud and privileged to be here.
Action and reaction.
We've all seen last minute runs. We have to keep the faith.
Time for a fresh start. I think we can do it.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
No one should ever step onto this island and control a game at Fratton Park. That's the philosophy that many Pompey fans want.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
There's been an outbreak of football at Fratton Park.
Curtis, edge of the penalty area, up against McShane. Left-footed shot, into the bottom corner. Lovely strike from Ronan Curtis, playing as a striker. He gets his goal. More great work from Jacobs. A brilliant team goal.
The Blues claimed a third straight win on what turned out to be a very good Friday, putting Rochdale on the wrong end of a 2-1 scoreline. On today's episode, we'll be hearing the post-match thoughts of goal scorer Ryan Williams.
No, we kind of knew that they were going to try and play out, so we wanted to press them high up the pitch. That's what we spoke about, and we did it quite well in stages, but we're a new team with new ideas, you know.
As well as head coach Danny Cowley.
Pleased to win. I thought, you know, we're certainly pleased with aspects of our performance. Credit to Rochdale. I think they come and jumped and played really aggressively and put a real high press on us.
I'm joined on this Sunday afternoon by Ryan Honey and Matt Corrick to review all of the action from Pompey's victory over the Dale, as well as to look ahead to Monday's matchup with Wigan at the DW. We are not live today, but we are still here with a one-off weekend's edition of the show. A very warm welcome on this Easter Sunday to the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome to an Easter Sunday special of the Football Hour, as ever, brought to you by Stagecoach Across the South. Head to stagecoachbus.com for more information on timetables, routes and fares, as well as the latest COVID-related guidelines. Well, welcome to another instalment of the show. You really are being treated, aren't you? Three episodes this week. A very happy Easter to everybody. We hope you're enjoying some chocolate and the sunshine today. And of course, who could forget another 3 points for Pompey on Friday afternoon. Unfortunately, this Football Hour is not live today. We've got plenty of brilliant shows taken up schedule on Express FM this weekend, so we've had to resort instead to pre-recording the chat from the comfort of our own bedrooms back home. Before I do bring Ryan and Matt into the conversation, we're going to take a listen back to the highlights of Pompey's last game. The Blues took on Rochdale at PO4 on Good Friday, with the Cowley brothers seeking a third consecutive victory to keep Pompey firmly in position in the top six of League One. Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham were your commentary team at Fratton Park.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He scored!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
We've seen Spain do it to great success. Manchester City have tried it on a number of occasions. But today it's Portsmouth's turn to have a go at not using a main centre forward, or certainly not having a recognised front man in their lineup. Rochdale start with a long ball forward and it goes straight out of play for a Portsmouth throw. Bazunu chased down by Curtis, and Curtis does get a foot to that clearance. It just came to Jacobs, and I thought for a moment, did Jacobs want to try a shot from 50 yards out? Instead he finds Harness across the edge of the area, and Williams puts it into the back of the net, and Porter have broken the deadlock inside 5 minutes. Harness the creator this time, and Ryan Williams tucks it home at the far post. It's Portsmouth 1, Rochdale 0. Michael Jacobs is through for Portsmouth. Jacobs with a great chance. Jacobs got almost hit it wide. I thought it was going to nestle in the bottom corner. I thought it deceived the goalkeeper, and Jacobs puts his left hand over his face. He can't believe he's missed. A glorious chance for a second. It's still just 1-0. Callum Johnson looks for Naylor, goes back to Watmore inside his own penalty area, across the edge of the six-yard box to Raggett, who takes a touch and will try and bring it forward. Does so. That's a lovely ball from Raggett. Now Jacobs drives over halfway, looks for Curtis. Curtis, edge of the penalty area, up against McShane. Left-footed shot into the bottom corner. Lovely strike from Ronan Curtis, playing as a striker. He gets his goal. More great work from Jacobs. A brilliant team goal started by Raggett. It's Portsmouth 2, Rochdale 0. Zuno drop kicks it forward. That's dangerous. And it looks like Rochdale could be in. A chance for Beasley. McGilvery comes out. Raggett clears off the six-yard box. Beasley's down on the ground. And Rochdale will try and come forward again. What a chance to halve the deficit going into the interval. And Jake Beasley has been thwarted by Craig McGilvery from centre-half, driving down towards the byline, finding himself in a cul-de-sac, surrounded by two, doesn't know where to go. Not foul. No foul is the call. Rochdale do win themselves a throw down by the corner flag. They trail Pompey by 2-0 on BBC Radio Solent Sport. Barr just inside the penalty area. Barr to Rathbone. Barr looking for the return. Johnson with a hefty challenge. I think he won the ball and so does the referee, crucially. No penalty. Ball cleared away. Rochdale throw. We are into the 5 minutes of stoppage time and half of it has gone. The goals in the first half from Ryan Williams and Ronan Curtis. As Roberts comes forward for Rochdale, tries a cross-field ball, which is headed halfway by Lee Brown. Loose outside Pompey's penalty area. Rathbone has it. Rathbone with the chance to shoot. Instead, lays it off for Newby. Loads of bodies in the penalty area. Newby across the face of goal and put in the back of the net by Beasley. And Rochdale have pulled one back and Portsmouth's clean sheet has gone. It's Portsmouth 2, Rochdale 1, 2 minutes to go. Now time is up. The whistle is blown by Lee Swaby. Portsmouth have beaten Rochdale by 2-1.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey live.
The highlights there from Good Friday as Pompey claimed a third successive victory under Danny Cowley following a 2-1 win over Rochdale at Fratton Park. And joining me on this Easter Sunday afternoon, we have Ryan Honey. Ryan, welcome back to the show, mate.
Hiya, Jay. Good to be back, mate.
And alongside Ryan here, Mr. Matt Corrick. Matt, likewise, my friend. Great to have you back on.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Jake. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you too, mate. And I'd like to thank you both so much for helping me out and taking some time out of your Sunday to talk Pompey with me. Your time is very much appreciated, but we'll promise not to keep you too long. But let's get straight into it then, Ryan. We'll start off with you. Friday's game, Rochdale at home, a third successive victory under Danny and Nicky Cowley. We talk about it week in, week out since their appointment, but what a feel-good factor at the club right now.
Yes, it's been an excellent turnaround, hasn't it? I mean, 3 wins on the bounce now. And although it was a bit nervy towards the end against Rochdale, the first half performance was excellent overall. And, you know, we went 2-0 into half-time and we were comfortable. And not many times this season, well, especially under Jacket, did we see us comfortable at half-time. But to be in that position at half-time and then we sort of burnt out. I think Cowley's come out and said we sort of ran out of steam in the second half, which was easy to see. It's a busy schedule and it's expected. There weren't many changes and we did start to burn out, but we grinded it out and came away with a 3 points. So it was a really good way to win.
Yeah. And it was another way in which Pompey found a way to win, wasn't it, Matt? As you know, Ryan's just alluded to there, a different sort of scenario for the Blues to claim the victory. In Danny Cowley's first game in charge of the club over Ipswich, had to come from behind 1-0 down, took into the break a 1-1, you know, with an equaliser shortly before the halftime break, and then claimed a 2-1 win. The Shrewsbury game, cruising 2-0 at half-time, looking, you know, much the better side. Shrewsbury come out in the second half. They had their tails up. They got an early goal and really put Pompey on the back foot. And that John Marcus red card really didn't help things. But then on Friday, Rochdale, a similar sort of situation where Pompey were 2-0 up at the break, sort of took their foot off the gas in the second half. Would you say, not necessarily inviting Rochdale to have a bit of pressure, but not necessarily needing to come out of first gear to try and claim the 3 points?
Yeah, I mean, I think that with the new management and the way they're being asked to play, it's obviously a lot more intense than what we've seen over the past few years. And I think you're going to find while we're adapting to that system and learning that system, that I think there's going to be occasions where we do burn out a little bit during games. But I think one thing that we can definitely say that we maybe wouldn't have seen such a short time ago is the amount of effort they are still putting in. And yeah, there's been some moments we switched off, but yeah, in ultimate sort of way, I think there hasn't been a real struggle from the teams that we faced once we have got ahead.
Yeah. And going into that kind of final 20 minutes of that game on Friday, Ryan. I know, obviously, in the end, Rochdale did get that consolation goal in injury time, but you kind of felt a bit confident that Pompey would still get that win, didn't you? You know, you mentioned earlier about how, you know, under the previous management, you perhaps wouldn't feel so confident, but with Pompey playing the way they are and defensively solid in the last couple of games, despite the fact we've had no clean sheets to show for those efforts, you are feeling just about a little bit more confident now that we're not going to throw these games away.
Yeah, you are. And I think that's also about the feel-good factor that the Cowley sort of implement within the team. They're confident within themselves and their ability. And it's shown in the last three games or so. You know, when we did go under the cosh in the last sort of 20 minutes, you know, Rochdale were a threat. I mean, they had some good players. Beasley had a few chances. Barr, the 18-year-old, I mean, he's some talent. And they did cause us problems. And if they were a little bit more clinical, we could have been in trouble. However, having said that, for the majority of the game, I thought defensively we were pretty sound. They had to be clinical if they were to score, and unfortunately for them, they weren't. But, you know, these are the sorts of games that you have to win if you want to go up, and we did that. So, happy days.
Yeah. And, you know, Ryan mentions there about, you know, Rochdale, Madden, how if they were more clinical, perhaps they, you know, could have got another goal or two. But you kind of look at the pattern of Rochdale over the last, you know, few months, really. They are bottom of the table. They have only won 7 games this season. They do look likely to be relegated this season, barring some sort of miracle. They don't win too many games, but they do score a lot of goals late on in matches. You saw that in the 3-3 draw against Peterborough. Although, you know, the Posh were fortunate to get an equalising goal very late on in that match. But just kind of shows the fighting spirit of that team. And although Pompey, they did look like they switched off in that final 10 minutes or so of the game, that is just sort of the way that Rochdale play. They come into the game very late on. They've got that fighting spirit about them to get a consolation goal, to try and claw their way back into game. So as much as you can sort of pin a little bit of blame onto the Pompey defence for falling asleep in that one, you've also got to give credit to Rochdale and the way they set up.
I mean, of course, it was never going to be an easy game at this point in the season against a team that have most certainly been struggling this season. And yeah, ultimately, as you said, barring a miracle, are heading for League Two. But, you know, they were pressing really high, even very late into the game, and, you know, making us play out, which on a side note, we did very well on occasion. But, you know, they're not going to give up and they're not going to roll over. And, you know, they've shown that in their recent results. I think, you know, a good draw against Peterborough. All right, yeah, it was a late equaliser. But, you know, for them, you know, they're going to be fighting for every point. And, you know, it was never easy game. So to play it out and come away with the 3 points is, you know, for us, it's a pivotal point in the season. And it was important that we did that.
Yeah, let's go over the goals a little bit now then, Ryan. That first goal for Pompey came very early on in the game, 6th minute, in fact. Ryan Williams with a tap-in, probably the easiest goal he'll score in his career at the back post. It was a nice delivery in from Marcus Harness on the right-hand started when Roland Curtis closed down Bazunu in the Rochdale goal. Coincidentally, actually, Roland Curtis's Republic of Ireland teammate. Jacobs picked it up in midfield, switched it out to the right very nicely, very quickly, and Harness dispatched that excellent ball into the Australian in the 6-yard box. Quick out of the blocks again, Ryan, and despite, you know, Dale opening the match with arguably the higher tempo of the two teams, Pompey getting that early goal to really unsettle the nerves.
It was almost as if Cowley set up like a training drill, like a how to counter-attack. I mean, once the change in possession, you know, Curtis closing down, something we didn't really see, although Marquis has been trying, we haven't really seen that this season, really getting in the face of the goalkeeper and putting him under pressure. And Curtis does brilliantly to block his clearance. He obviously falls to Jacobs, and it's in a position where you think if he gets the pass right, Harness is in. And luckily for us, he does. Yeah. It's a brilliant ball over to him, and he just squares it across to Williams. And I mean, when you look at that goal, you probably think, oh, that's easy. But that's not easy. I mean, it was, like you say, a very fast intensity. And they did very well to pull it off on a counter. And I'm sure Cowley will be very happy with that.
And that goal, actually, in my opinion, Matt, and a lot like the two goals at Shrewsbury last week, actually, very, very pleasing on the eye. Roland Curtis done very well to close down the keeper, put him under some pressure, win the ball back. But, you know, in terms of the movement of the goal, the way it was played, some very nice, fluent football. And that's something we've been accustomed to since Bacalli's come in. It's very, you know, appeasing to the eye.
Yeah, I mean... For anyone who's watched it, the mic'd up training session this week, the similarities in the training, they're definitely implementing what they're doing on the training ground onto the pitch. There was a particular part in that actually where Cowley said to the strikers when he took them to one side that, you know, they need to face up a little bit more when sort of attacking goal. And that was certainly seen. And you know, it is very pleasing on the eye, and I think we can all sort of say that we can't wait to get back and actually see this.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of training drills, Ryan, you know, Pompey, we've noticed in the last, you know, few weeks since Bacalli's have come in that the training drills on the pitch before games, they look very, you know, very intense. They are played at a high tempo. Danny and Nicky are very heavily involved. And, you know, speaking in the press box on Friday afternoon at Fratton Park, and a lot of us kind of came to a similar conclusion that maybe these high-tempo training drills are to try and get the team coming out of the blocks very quickly in matches, which they have done in the last couple of weeks. Do you think that having these high-intensity, you know, kind of mini-training sessions before a match gears them up to start the game quicker than their opponents?
Potentially. I mean, I've seen a few clips of obviously their pre-match warm-ups and stuff, and they're so vocal. They're really in the faces of our players and telling them what to do, where to go, and give it, like, complimenting them. Like, confidence is sky high at the moment, and I think that's a big factor with the Cowleys. I think they're very much confidence managers as much as they are tactical managers so far. But overall, you know, when we do start fast, like we have done in the last few games, I think it's very much because of their philosophy that they want us to be up for it. They want us to be confident on the ball and play to our strengths. I mean, we've got the players in this team to play the football on the floor, and they're getting the best out of them.
Okay, we've just been talking about Ryan Williams' opening goal on Friday. And speaking of Ryan Williams, we're going to hear his post-match interview. He spoke to the club's media team after that 2-1 win over Rochdale at Fratton Park.
Well, Willow, congratulations on the goal. First of all, just talk us through it.
I think it was a good counter-attack, really. Made a space. Crackers won it in the middle. I kind of vacated the space for Marcus to get it out wide, and then he put a great ball in across and I couldn't miss. Although when it was coming across, I thought I had missed at one point because he fired it across. But that was a really good team goal.
Yeah, and obviously everybody talks about Rochdale playing out from the back. Did that affect your game plan? Did you have to press a little bit more, a little bit higher?
Yeah, I think so, Nick, because obviously that press sometimes, like last 20 minutes, kind of fell off a little bit because maybe they have no pressure on them. We've got a little bit more pressure on us, and then we've been pressing the whole game and stuff like that, so we're kind of penned in a little bit. But no, we kind of knew that they were going to try and play out, so we wanted to press them high up the pitch. That's what we spoke about, and we did it. We did it quite well in stages, but we're a new team with new ideas, you know. We've been with the management now for 2 weeks, and to be taken on the ideas as well as everyone has so far is awesome, you know.
Yeah, how have things been going under the new managers? They've obviously got their feet under the table by now, and I'm sure been able to implement a few of their ideas in training.
Yeah, everybody's really enjoying it. Everyone's enjoying the intensity. Everyone's enjoying the attention to detail. Everyone's kind of really focusing on performance rather than the outcome. That's one thing that the gaffer always says. He says focus on performance and not the outcome. And usually the outcome will sort itself out. Yeah, training's been awesome. It's just been different. but again, I said it's been really enjoyable, really intense. And just different ideas and different things to think about on the training pitch and during the game.
Yeah, because in the games you see that you're keeping a lot of possession, you're keeping the ball on the ground a lot of the time. Does that suit you as a player? Is that something you enjoy going forward as an attacking player?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because I'm not the biggest of players, so it's difficult for me when the ball goes up to win it and stuff like that. So when it's on the floor, gives us a lot more of a chance, and there's different patterns that we're playing, so we know when to move, how to move. Like if I move here, it leaves a space for him maybe. So yeah, it's good. It's give us all up top, it's give us a lot more ideas, and maybe with the pressing that it's helped us, because we're stepping up on the press and then everyone else is coming with us, which is getting us higher up the pitch, which is getting us further away from our goal, which means obviously less goals.
Being an Easter weekend, it's obviously a short turnaround time to Wigan. Is that something that you enjoy, having two games in quick succession?
Yeah, definitely, especially this time of the season and the kind of the run that we're on and the confidence that we have in the team at the moment. And like I said again, our new ideas, our new kind of way of playing. Everyone just wants to get their teeth into another game, you know, because there's things that we could do better, and there's obviously the things that we can work on, and the things that we've done well that we can highlight and do even better, you know. So everyone's just in a really kind of happy place at the moment, and we're working hard to win games. So far we have been doing that.
Ryan Williams there speaking following the full-time whistle on Friday afternoon. And Matt, Ryan Williams, a player high in energy. We know exactly what he's capable of, his attributes, but one of the most admirable things about his game, which we've seen, you know, over the last season, two seasons, even under the previous management, but since McCauley's have come in, he's really come out of his shell, and he absolutely runs his socks off to try and get the best out of his team.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I've been an admirer of Williams, you know, since we've brought him in. I think a few people would disagree at some points and say that he can't finish. Obviously, yeah, the last couple of seasons, we've seen an improvement on that. But even when you get a player that doesn't score goals, it doesn't necessarily always mean everything, because, you know, he works so hard and presses the game and gets tackles in, and he works for the team, you know. And I think as Pompey fans, that's all we ever ask of our players, to do that. And he's normally the first person you look at that say at least he turned up and worked hard when we've had a bad game. And, you know, we can now see the same as well when we've had a good game. You know, he's the man to look to at the moment. And I think with the managers putting an arm around him, you know, and I think that was needed around the squad for a lot of players. And definitely now we're starting to see that from a lot of players that I think people did have doubts over.
Yeah, and one of those players as well, Ryan Honey, is Marcus Harness, who, you know, we spoke about in recent Football Hours about how, you know, he's really thriving under this new style of play, under the confidence that's been injected by the new management team of Danny and Nicky Cowley. And, you know, Marcus Harness, Ryan Williams are two great examples of that. What are your thoughts on you know, how they're playing and how really the Cowleys have managed to get the best out of Pompey's attacking outlets? And it's not just those two, you know, you talk about Roland Curtis and Michael Jacobs as well. Some really standout performances over the last couple of weeks. We've known for a long time these players have got this ability. Has it all just been about getting the right man in to unlock it?
Well, I think that's the question, Jake. Have they been there all along? Well, in my opinion, yes, they have. On paper, we've got one of the strongest attacks in the league, I want to say. Obviously, you've got the work rate and the creativity of Ryan Williams. Potentially not the finishing, but that's okay. He makes up for it in other areas. Marcus Harness, he's back in the goals. Assists against Rochdale on Friday. Curtis is dangerous from the left and even up front, as we found out on Friday too. And Jacobs is really starting to find his feet as well on that left-hand side. So, and then John Marquis comes into that category as well. He's a goal scorer in this league, and if we can get him firing, that the only way is up. But no, I think it could be a real positive that we've got someone, Cowley, that's come in, and he's gonna try and give them the confidence that they need. I think the majority of those players are very much confidence players.
Yeah.
And Cowley's really implemented that. He wants them to trust their ability, and boy, they've got ability. So it's going to be an interesting end of the season in terms of how many goals we can score, for sure.
And really important as well, Matt, we're talking about Pompey's attacking options right now. The fact that John Marquis is, you know, out for, well, now the next two games, Wigan on Monday and Burton on Saturday. He served one of his game suspension on Friday against Rochdale, so he'll be missing for the next two matches. Ellis Harrison out for the rest of the season. Jordy Hawula out pretty much for the rest of the season. I think it's now 4 weeks until we can expect some sort of update on him. But, you know, Ronan Curtis playing really, really well at the moment. Let's talk about him now. Came back from international duty with the Republic of Ireland. Didn't get actually any minutes with his international team during that break. So frustrating for him, but came straight back into his Pompey side, hungry and with some sort of desire to really prove a point. And I think he proved that point very well on Friday.
Definitely. I mean, I think we all know Ronan Curtis is actually a better player, an angry player sometimes. He's always up for the game. And do you know what? I think based on what Ryan was saying with the management, you know, they put an arm around them and they sort of use their energy in the right way and get them playing football that suits them and plays their strengths. And I think, you know, Ronan Curtis would have come back definitely disappointed, but he used that energy in the right way this time. And it, you know, it showed he's a quality player. We all know it. And we've seen some great goals from him, but when he's direct and he's running at a defence, you know, they pedal off him and he's a great finisher, you know, and I think, I always felt happy, you know, especially under this management, shall we say, more so that he was going to come back and use himself in the right way. And, I felt comfortable with that. You know, yeah, it's disappointing that we have got a lack of strikers and, you know, all we can hope for is that Curtis can kind of help out through these two games. I think they're, albeit very difficult games, they're games that are winnable and I think games that, you know, we can maybe sort of live without Marquis for, definitely based on the performance on Friday from Curtis and Williams as well.
Yeah, and talking about Ronan Curtis, he bagged Pompey's second goal of that game on Friday in the 37th minute to make it 2-0. On the left-hand side, Pompey were breaking. Very nice work from Jacobs to set up the strike as well. And Ronan Curtis dispatched a nice strike on his left foot into the back post. Ryan, and you know, we speak about Ronan Curtis and, you know, his kind of hunger to come back into this game and perform well. And without, you know, these recognised striker over these next few matches, as, you know, Matt's just been talking about there, we need players like Ronan Curtis and like Ryan Williams and Marcus Harness to really be at the top of their games. Did you think that on Friday, the partnership of Ronan Curtis and Ryan Williams working together, really in what looked like a front, you know, a forward line, you know, a partnership of two, do you think that worked?
I did. I thought they complemented each other pretty well. Obviously, they're both high energy players. They like making darts in behind, and there were opportunities to try and feed each other in behind. Although it didn't come off very often, they were there, and those signs are very encouraging. I thought Curtis did very well as a lone striker, well, obviously with Williams just behind him, but because he hasn't really played there for us, and he's stamping his markdown, because, you know, if he carries on scoring, Marcus will have a job to get back in the team.
Yeah, and going into the second half as well, Matt, we're gonna move on and talk about the Wigan game on Easter Monday very, very shortly. Second half, slow play at the back from Pompey. Comfortable lead, don't get me wrong, but we were forcing Rochdale to close Pompey down and really come at us. And doing that, we drew them out from the back. We ensured that numbers at the back for Rochdale were limited, and we were able to counter very quickly and cut them open, you know, all the way through the midfield, on the left-hand side, the right-hand side. When they committed bodies forward, Pompey pounced. And don't get me wrong, in the second half, we didn't quite capitalise on that. We didn't get a third or fourth goal to really show for that style of play that we were implementing to see the game out. But were you impressed to see that kind of play, that kind of initiative, that kind of game management to secure the win?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, it's what we've all been crying out for a while now. And I mean, the goal was, I mean, as was pointed out, there was 17 passes in the goal and I think from 9 different players, you know, and it just shows that we can, you know, play the right way, and we have got the players to do that. So, yeah, I mean, it is pleasing to see. And what I think I feel more comfortable about now is that there is alternatives in the game. There's different plans. We were always talking about, you know, the plan A and the plan B, and there wasn't often a plan B, but there seems to be that way now. And I think, you know, we will see games, unfortunately, where there won't be teams that will press so much like Rochdale and will try and sit back and maybe earn an important point. And I think in that instance, there's going to be an alternative for that. But definitely the way that we are playing at the moment is really, you know, implementing some confidence in me, that's for sure. And I think everybody else. And, you know, as I said, I think we can look forward to seeing a little bit different tactics in a lot of different games coming up.
Yeah, and just to conclude, I'll talk about Friday's win over Rochdale. Ryan, 3 wins out of 3 for the Cowleys, finding a solution with no recognised strikers available. Great management. They've only been here for a short time. And considering the limited time they've had to implement their philosophy with the way the fan base is feeling, with what we've seen on the pitch, it's a much improved style of play from Pompey. You know, we mentioned at the top of the show today, there's just a great feel-good factor around the club right now. We're on the right track now. 9 matches of this season to try and remain in the top 6. Maybe even, you know, dare we say it, go for a chance of the automatics as well. It's an exciting time and it's certainly going to be an interesting end to the campaign.
No, exactly. I mean, when the Cowleys took over, it's almost as if they had like a 12-game mini-season, you know, a free hit, if you like, to try and get us into those, well, top 6, if you like. And they're off to a perfect start. And, you know, I went for a point under Jacket where I was like, do I want to watch this game? I know what I'm expecting. And obviously I did, because I'm a Pompey fan and I'm sure there were Pompey fans that put themselves through it as well. But you knew what you were expecting. With this Cowley side, you don't know what to expect. I mean, they want to play different tactics and to suit their opposition. And I think that's absolutely excellent. And we've got, like I said earlier, we've got the players to adapt. We've got the players to play football. And if we need to go route one, we've done that before as well. So that also plays into our hands. But I think a vital cog for us in the last 3 games, especially, has been Ben Close. The way he's come into the team, it's like he's been playing all season. And he suits Cowley's style down to the ground. He makes us tick. He goes forward when he can. A lot of people used to say he goes sideways and backwards. But I think he's very much a progressive midfielder, especially in the last 3 games or so. And I don't think Andy Cannon has that sort of in his locker. And I can see why he's been dropped and Ben Close has been brought in, because he's definitely got that ability to play the Cowley style.
Yeah. It's the turn now of head coach Danny Cowley to give his post-match thoughts. Ollie Marsh caught up with him on the touchline on Friday afternoon.
Well, Danny, there's a pattern emerging here. Your third 2-1 win in a row.
Yeah, pleased to win. I thought, you know, we're certainly pleased with aspects of our performance. 2 really good goals. First goal come off of a high press, fantastic by Ronan Curtis. Covered so much ground to affect the goalkeeper's kick, and we were able to turn it over and counter-attack through them and score. Brilliant ball by Marcus Harness. Second goal was a really good goal from us. I thought goal line to goal line. Some really nice play and a super, super finish from Ronan. So pleased with the goals. I thought our first half performance was a little erratic. Credit to Rochdale. I think they come and jumped and played really aggressively and put a real high press on us. And I thought at times we were able to show control and able to beat that press. And we actually got our attacking players in some really good moments in the first half and probably didn't execute in the final third as well as we would have liked. Second half, I actually thought we come out and we got much more control in the game. And we were able to find some rhythm and some fluency. Then another system change from the opponent, and I thought we did well. We probably gave the ball away a little bit too much in the whole game, and as a consequence of sometimes giving the ball away, what you then have to do is you have to work really hard to win it back. And then actually, just towards the end of the game, the energy on the press, we lost because we'd given the ball away too much in the game previously. And as a consequence of that, we weren't able to defend as high up the pitch as we would have liked. And that probably leads to the goal we concede. And we're disappointed with the goal because we want a clean sheet. We know that if we're going to be a successful team, then we have to keep clean sheets. We know the rules. It's much easier to win football matches when the opponent doesn't score. So there's some good aspects, some pleasing aspects, but there's loads to still work on. And I actually see that as a real positive. And we said that in the changing room together as a group, really, that there's loads of bits that we can improve on. And the fact that we've been able to put three performances together and get three wins, while still having so much to improve on, is healthy and a positive sign.
You must be happy with both of your goal scorers. Ryan Williams, we see every day in training and every game, he never stops running. And for Ronan Curtis to come straight back into it after international duty must be impressive as well.
Yeah, I think both players gave so much for the team. Ryan Williams is such a selfless player, such a team-orientated player, runs so hard for the group, drives the energy of the front part of the team. He scored all week in training. I said to him this morning that I thought he'd score because I've seen him hit the back of net time and time again in training this week. So you always get a feeling for a player, and it was great to see him score off a really good counter-attack move. We were able to get pressure on the ball from Ronan, forced them long. Michael Jacobs just at a moment extra to find a pass and a wonderful cross from Marcus Harness. And I always think they count double the ones in the six-yard box. I always like my forwards to score those goals. And the second goal, yeah, Ronan, you know, you have to consider he hasn't been with us, been in Ireland, come home late on Wednesday, early Wednesday morning. Only joined up again with the team Thursday because we had to give him some recovery, and playing out of position as well. You know, the number nine role is a specialised position, probably other than the goalkeeper, it's the most specialised position. And to play up there on his own and play as intelligently as he did and put the effort and the energy into his performance, it was great. And I was really proud of the way he played.
On to Wigan then. How does the preparation go with such a short turnaround, and is that affected by what you've seen today at all in terms of what you want to work on?
I think we will now go and watch the game back this evening as a staff. We will look for the learning from the game and what we can improve on. We will address the players again early tomorrow. We'll be in an hour later tomorrow just to give them some extra recovery time in bed. But then they'll be in, we'll do a review of the game, take some learning from it. The boys that played will then do some recovery work. There's some brilliant facilities at the training ground with a cryo chamber. So definitely looking to try to recover the boys as quickly and effectively as we can. And the finishers, as I call them, boys that didn't start, we'll do some training. So it's a good day for us tomorrow. We're looking forward to that, and then we'll have a preparation and a travel day on Sunday, and then we'll play a Wigan team that have played a little bit earlier in the week than we have, but this happens, and it certainly happens in the current season. So we have to find a way, and I think that's what good teams are always able to do.
Okay, we just heard from McGaffer there, and now it's time to move on to look ahead to the Easter Monday fixture at the DW Stadium. Matt, Wigan Athletic away from home. It's a chance for the Cowley brothers to secure a fourth straight victory since they were appointed just over 3 weeks ago. Wigan, another team in the relegation zone, much like Rochdale were on Friday afternoon. But we know that they're also not going to they're not going to be a team to just, you know, walk over, but it's not going to be an easy ride. Liam Richardson got them playing some decent football. They started to pick up a few results of late as well. They're not quite as down as out as we were probably expecting a couple of months ago.
No. Again, it's another really important game for them, as much as it is for us. I don't think there's going to be any underestimating them from a Portsmouth team at all. I think that the boys will be made to know that, you know, this is going to be a difficult game, and we've got to be switched on and play the right way. And I'm sure they've been working on that. Again, it's a tight schedule as well between the two games. So, you know, I think game management's going to be right. We just heard Danny Cowley saying, you know, that you know, we need to not lose the ball as much and as often. So ultimately, yeah, you know, if we go there and we play the right way, then I think we can get a result. You know, on paper, the result is there. We've just got to go and do it the right way and not let them get on top of us. So, yeah, I'm hoping that with a bit of professionalism, we'll get up there and get a result.
And speaking of, you know, going back to Friday a little bit, Ryan, we spoke about in the second half how Pompey kind of changed their style of play, kind of, you know, adapted their approach to the game with Rochdale, kind of finding their feet a little bit into the match and really just holding off and not really coming out of first gear, not really needing to break a sweat to try and get the win. But would you also perhaps ask questions about the kind of fitness levels within the squad? It's been something that's been spoke about in patches this season, you know, since the start of a campaign back in, you know, September time. Do you think the tiredness and fatigue is still a factor going into the final 20 minutes of Pompey matches? Is this something that you'd like to see improved maybe in the summer if either the Cowleys or a new manager is to come in and try and change the way this team thinks and change the way that they, you know, sort out their fitness levels?
Well, I think with this philosophy, you need to be a fit footballer because the intensity is so high from the get-go. Moving the ball, runs in behind, runs forwards, and even backtracking as well. The counter press is something that's been we've seen in the last three games. And as soon as we lose the ball, we surround the player trying to win it back and for about 5-6 seconds. And I think that's excellent. It's a real sign of a good team if you can do that and pull it off. But I think fitness could be a problem in the running because obviously it means that we're going to have to rotate the team carefully. And obviously, if you take the likes of Ben Close out for Andy Cannon, you're then playing a different style altogether because Andy Cannon obviously brings more energy, whereas Ben Close is very much more possession orientated and keeps the ball moving. And then you've got the likes of Ryan Williams. If he needs a little rest or he needs to come off, you know, and then you need to bring on the likes of Harvey White. He hasn't got that. He hasn't got that energy. He's very much like Ben Close. He likes to keep the ball moving. So it's a case of game management. It's a case of rotation. Rotation is going to be key, I think, in this running. And but I trust the Cowleys, and I think the Pompey fans should too.
And we're going to come on more about Wigan Athletic and the game on Easter Monday, Pompey travelling to the DW Stadium to take on Liam Richardson's side. But now we're going to hear from Connor Mosley, who has the lowdown on the Blues' Easter Monday opponents.
The Blues were victorious over Rochdale on Good Friday, claiming a 2-1 win at Fratton Park. And they'll be looking to make it an Easter double on Monday when they travel to the DW Stadium to take on Wigan Athletic.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Friday's 2-1 victory over Rock Bottom Dale was the third consecutive game to return maximum points under the regime of the Cowley brothers, whose perfect record at the club remains intact. 9 games remain for Pompey to secure a top 6 finish and perhaps even push for the automatics, bargaining on the current top 2 to drop points in the coming weeks. One thing's for certain, anything can happen in football. Up next for the Blues in their quest for promotion to the Championship is the Latics of Wigan. Here's a closer insight into the team now led by a man who was once assistant manager on the South Coast.
Manager.
Paul Cook's right-hand man at Pompey, Liam Richardson, is now overseeing first-team matters at Wigan, who opted to keep Richardson at the club despite Cook's resignation at the end of last season. The 41-year-old Leeds-born gaffer, who had a 16-year spell as a defender in the Football League between 1997 and 2013, was second to Paul Cook at Fratton Park between 2015 and Pompey's League Two title success in 2017. His title at the DW Stadium remains officially as caretaker, though he has held the position since November following the departure of John Sheridan to relegation rival Swindon Town. From 28 competitive matches in the Wigan dugout, including a one-game stint at the start of the campaign before Sheridan's arrival, Richardson has overseen just 7 victories, whilst being defeated on 13 occasions.
One to watch.
29-year-old midfielder Funzo Ojo is a player to look out for during this fixture. Wigan's number 12 is currently on loan from Scottish Premiership outfit Aberdeen. The Belgian, once of Scunthorpe United, began his career in the Netherlands with PSV Eindhoven and has spent the vast majority of his playing time in Holland for clubs such as Venlo, Royal Antwerp and Willem II. Since joining on loan back in January, Ojo has featured 8 times, but has yet to bag a goal or an assist.
Top scorer.
Forward player Callum Lang is the Latics' leading scorer so far this season, with 7 League One strikes to his name. The 22-year-old, who wears the number 9 shirt at Wigan, was born in Liverpool in 1998 and came through the youth ranks at the DW. He signed his first professional contract in 2017 before being shipped out on loan on 4 separate occasions to Morecambe, Oldham Athletic, Shrewsbury Town and Motherwell as recently as this season. Lang was recalled from his loan in Scotland back in January, having initially moved to Motherwell on a 1-year deal back in July. Now, he's already the club's highest goalscorer.
Current form.
Over the last 10 games, Wigan have suffered 5 defeats and won on just 3 occasions. However, they are winless in their past 4 matches. A pattern of draw, lose, draw, lose from those previous 4 outings have halted ambitions of a great escape, as the Latics now sit 22nd in the table and just 2 points off safety, though also just 3 points above bottom side Rochdale, who do have a game in hand to play. In this season's reverse fixture, Wigan did secure a 2-1 victory over the Blues at Fratton Park. However, a lot has changed for both sides since that match back in September. Will it be 4 wins from 4 for Danny and Nicky Cowley? Or will relegation threaten Wigan become only the 3rd team to do the league double over the Blues this season? All of the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
A closer inspection of Wigan there, Pompey's next opponents for Latics at the DW Stadium on Easter Monday. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff there. Coverage here on Pompey Live starts at 2 p.m. And Matt, Wigan on Monday. We've only got a few moments to carry on talking about that before our little countdown at the top of my screen ends in a few moments' time. But Wigan, you know, we spoke about how, you know, they are another team fighting for their lives at the bottom of the table. League Two is, you know, is creeping up on them. A big side like Wigan, you know, we've seen a lot of big clubs relegated down into the fourth tier over the last kind of decade or so. You know, Pompey themselves, Bolton not too long ago, but Wigan, another team who, you know, are very, very, you know, close to that. They're in real, real danger. But, you know, we mentioned before we heard that segment, you know, this week's opposition there. They're not a terrible team. They're not a walkover. They're going to pose a big threat to Pompey. And Viv Solomon-Ottobor, a former Blues player, we know what happens when we come up against former Pompey players. We need to be wary. And as Ryan mentioned before, that we need to really, you know, ensure that this game management we've seen over the last 3 games is still present to see out of a win, because it's not going to be a thumping by any means.
Oh, not at all. I mean, they came down and did a job on us earlier in the season at Fratton Park. And okay, it was obviously different circumstances then. But I fully agree with Ryan. I think if we have game management and we use that in the right way, and the professionalism continues throughout the squad, then by all means, we've got the players to go and beat a Wigan side that have obviously struggled this year. But obviously, they've had their own difficulties and their own circumstances behind the scenes. That seems to be sorted now. So another reason for them to have their tails up as well. And obviously, they're going to be up for this. And, you know, as we've always said, we need to be as up for it as other teams. And I think with the new management there, I think we'll definitely have that, and we'll definitely be a match for them as well. So, you know, they're going to have to realise, you know, we're dangerous, as well as us realising that they're going to be up for it as well. So it's going to be an interesting contest. And, you know, if it's played right, we'll come away with the result.
Going into the game, Ryan, would you make any changes to the Pompey team, which faced Rochdale on Friday? I know you mentioned about how there's going to be rotation within the squad over these final 9 matches of the season. But in terms of ability, in terms of the performance we saw on Friday, would you make any changes?
I don't think so, no. Especially if, you know, if Cowley doesn't think that he's going to burn any of his players out, I don't think there's any need to be honest. I mean, take them off with 20 minutes, 30 minutes to go, and hopefully we're a couple of goals to the good. And then it all just comes down to game management. Bring the likes of Andy Cannon, Harvey White, George Byers, potentially, you know. And then even Charlie Daniels has played in that midfield role in the latter stages recently too. I mean, we've got the players to come off the bench and really, really try and see the game out. So if we can get a couple of goals to the good, I think all is well in terms of trust in our bench.
Yeah, Okay, then we got a comment in from Jeff Harris on Facebook, who's actually got in touch with us this afternoon. I know it's very difficult for kind of listeners to get involved today due to it being a pre-recorded show, but Jeff Harris has got in touch. He says he's going for a 2-1 win for Pompey on Monday, and you can't blame him, Matt, because Pompey's last three games, you know, the first three games under the Cowley era, all 2-1 victories. And look, you take that. If every game between now and the end of the season ended by a scoreline of 2-1 by Pompey, not necessarily convincing when you look at it on paper, but a win's a win. It doesn't kind of matter how you get it, does it?
Oh, I mean, of course not. It goes back to the old school 1-0 to the Arsenal, doesn't it? You know, it doesn't matter how you get a result as long as you come away with it. But I think, especially at this point, maybe it's a good thing that there's not fans there if we do have to play a bit more gritty and grind out, you know, 2-1s for the rest of the season. I think, obviously, when fans are back, we're going to want to see some, you know, big results. But ultimately, yeah, and no one would complain if you went the whole season winning 2-1, would they really?
No. Let's get some score predictions in now, then. Ryan Honey, we'll start off with you. Pompey at Wigan Athletic on Easter Monday. Three wins on the trot for the Cowley brothers, going up against another relegation-threatened opponent. I know away victories have sort of dried up over the last couple of months for Pompey. We had a fantastic record on the road, you know, prior sort of to February time, really. What are you going for? What do you reckon the scores are going to be at the DW?
I'm gonna break the consecutive 2-1 debate, and I'm gonna say 3-0 Pompey. I think it'd be. I'm going to say a comfortable day at the office, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
3-0 Pompey, says Ryan. Very confident. Matt, do you blame him? Are you also going for a Pompey kind of thumping, or do you think it's going to be sort of similar to the last couple of games in the sense, but it's going to be a very tight match?
I'm going to break the fact that we've conceded in the past three, but I'm going to say it's going to be a bit more cagey, and I think... you know, it's going to be a tough game, but I can see us coming away with a 1-0.
Oh, okay, brilliant. I'm going to kind of go in the middle of you both, actually. I think I'm going to go for a 2-0. I think, you know, I agree. I think it's also going to be a clean sheet. But cagey, as you say, Matt, but I think we've certainly got the quality to get at least two past them and, you know, get a comfortable victory in the end. Look, Ryan, Matt, thank you ever so much for calling in on this Sunday afternoon, Easter Sunday as well. Really appreciate you both taking the time out of your days to talk to us today. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Have a great week. Stay safe. And I'm sure we'll hear from you both very, very soon. And happy Easter as well. Take care, lads.
You too.
Cheers, Jake. And you.
Well, that just about draws a close to today's podcast. Up next for Pompey, it's Wigan away on Easter Monday. All of the unmissable action from the DW Stadium will be live here on Express FM and I Follow Pompey from 2 o'clock.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey secured their third win in a row on Good Friday. They beat Rochdale by 2-1.
Across the edge of the area and Williams puts it into the back of the net.
Up against McShane. Left-footed shot into the bottom corner. Up next, the Blues travel to the DW Stadium to take on Liam Richardson's Wigan Athletic. Join us for all the unmissable action Easter Monday from 2.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
It's match day number 38 for the Blues, who have 9 games remaining this season to keep up with the promotion push. The championship is the prize, but Liam Richardson's relegation threatened Wigan stand in the way of Pompey and a 4th straight win. I'll be live once again from my bedroom for this one, while Liam and Ryan will be making the journey up to the northwest. Once again, a huge thanks to Ryan Honey and Matt Corrick for calling in and taking the time out of their day to join me on today's show. Thanks to Stagecoach across myself for supporting this season's Football Hour, and to our fantastic listeners for your continued support of the Pompey Live team here on Express FM. I'll be back on Tuesday evening from 6 to review what we hope to be a win at Wigan, and we'll be back live on Express FM for that one with 2 more Blues fans. But don't forget beforehand, Pompey have the task of seeing off Athletics away from home. We look forward to hearing from you on Easter Monday. Thank you for listening and have a fantastic rest of your Easter weekend. Until next time, stay safe and play up Pompey.